Attention, service members, veterans, and military families. Whether you're planning to rank up or transition out, there's a reason to consider Post University to further your education and career goals. Our Post Eagle program is designed to help you get the most out of your financial benefits. Maximize transfer credit for relevant experience, getting you from enrollment to degree completion as fast as possible. We're here to help you every step of the way with personalized military support. Text MILITARY to 474747 to learn more.
He came to America when he was 6 months old. He started as a stock boy at the grocery store. Eventually, he owned it. He turned it into the biggest grocery store chain in New York City. He now owns a real estate company worth over $2 billion. He ran for mayor of New York City. He almost won. You can't make this story up. This is the Katz Roundtable with John Catsimatidis.
Everywhere around the world, they come to America. Every time that flag's unfurled, they come to America.
Good morning, New York. Well, happy Thanksgiving to all our listeners. This is John Catsimatidis. What a great day it is today in the middle of the end of November. And we have a great show for you today. We have Nicole Galinas. Where the heck are we in New York City? Are we going to roll up the sidewalks? Pamela Newman discusses leadership. Congressman-elect Nicole Malliotakis. Let's go to her. And last week was Nicole Malliotakis' birthday. And what a way to celebrate her birthday other than being in Washington and being in a training session of Congress. How are you, Nicole Malliotakis? Congratulations.
Thanks, John. I really appreciate it.
Well, you know, people rewarded you in New York. You got elected. You stood for law and order versus viciousness, what's going on in the streets of New York. How does it feel to be in Washington? Can you straighten out that place?
Look, John, there's obviously a lot of work ahead of us, but I can tell you that I'm really excited to be here. We are going through the freshman orientation, and we're learning the new members or meeting new members who are going to be in our class. And what I could tell you is we have a dynamic group of individuals that are coming in this freshman class. And from the Republican side, I could tell you that we have people with diverse backgrounds, but they also share very similar stories as I do. As you know, my father's a Greek immigrant, my mother's a Cuban refugee, and we have a couple of other Cuban members whose families also fled communism, as well as an individual from the Ukraine who grew up under Soviet Union rule, Victoria Spars, representing Indiana. And we have two members from California who are immigrants from South Korea, who also obviously left North Korea for South Korea and have now come here to pursue the American dream and are in the United States Congress. It's absolutely amazing. It's also what makes our country so truly special, John.
Well, that sounds great. I mean, let me ask you, you were down there with all the new trainees. Were there a lot of socialist type new Congress people?
Well, there are a couple that have joined the squad, as you say, and you know, we will obviously have to be vigilant and make sure that what they're proposing never actually becomes the law of the land here. But, you know, you have people from all sorts of different backgrounds and different states with different needs and different agendas. But what I could say from the Republican side, because that's who I obviously spent the most time with, because we had separate events with our conference, the Republican conference. We have an amazing group of individuals who are very much vigilant and many reasons ran as I did because they were very concerned about the socialism being spread in our nation. And for coming from New York, we have to be extra careful about that because that is where Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is growing her influence. Six additional members in the New York State Legislature. They're running now a slate of candidates for city council in 2021. And so they're growing. And we need more people to provide a balance in this city. But what I can say is I think the squad is really going to have a match in these new members that we have on the freshman side, Republican side. And as I said, we have more diversity than ever. 17 new women. This is the biggest Republican female class coming into Congress, the 2020 class. It's absolutely amazing. We have African-American members. We have Hispanic members. We have people who serve in the military as well. We had small business owners. So it's I think, a very impressive class. And as the people of America get to know them and me and us, and people are going to be very pleased that we have people that are going to fight for our values.
Well, Nicole Miotakis, thank you so much. Have a great Thanksgiving weekend. You had a great birthday winning the election, and God bless America. And I hope you straighten out Washington.
Thank you, John, and I wish you and your family happy Thanksgiving as well.
With us this morning is one of our country's leading economists. We got Stephen Moore. How are you, Stephen?
Hey, John, I'm doing really well. And I was just listening to what you were saying. And, a remarkable thing, given what a year that we've had and that we're 6 weeks from the new year. It's not probable, but it's possible that we could actually end up with the economy in positive territory from where it was a year ago. Now, it's probably going to be down a little bit, but John, remember at the beginning of the year, it looked like we're going to see a 10 or 15% decline in our GDP. This has been an amazing comeback. I'm going to call this the greatest economic comeback in American history, and it continues to roll on. We got some good numbers on jobs today. Another 400,000 people dropped off of unemployment benefits and into the labor market. It's just astonishing.
That's mind-boggling. Tell me, I mean, the economy is great. We got new vaccines in 6 months. Never in the history of our country can we have solutions in that short of time. We have a president that has never started a war, and the first president in 30 years not to start a war. Why is he, the perception is he's losing. What, I mean, we're not going to know until the fat lady sings on with the Electoral College and et cetera. But what's your thoughts, sis?
Look, I think that this is a president, assuming he loses, and I still think he's got a chance to win, but he's probably going to be leaving office on January 20th, so there's still some hope. I think he's going to leave the office triumphant. Triumphant, John. I mean, think about this. We will, by early next year, have a vaccine that nobody thought was possible. And this is an incredible tribute to the Operation Warp Speed, which there's no way Joe Biden would have been able to do this, or virtually any other president. Extraordinary what he's done on the vaccine, which will save hundreds of thousands of American lives and maybe tens of millions of lives around the world. So that's amazing. And he's going to be handing off to Joe Biden, if Biden becomes president, a very healthy economy. And so, I think he's like Winston Churchill. People forget, the voters dumped Winston Churchill a couple of times, and then he kept making comebacks and said, no, we want him back. So I don't think we've seen the end of Donald Trump. I think people are going to, already I talk to people, John, on the street, or people call me and say, I voted for Joe Biden. I think I made a mistake. He hasn't even become president yet. So I think Trump does not need to, hang his head or put his tail between his legs. If he is, if Biden is the one who's pronounced the winner, I think Trump goes out in a triumphant Douglas MacArthur kind of exit.
Well, I mean, I tend to agree with you because, other than the big cities, in which it looks like the Democratic administration still has closed down, and they're taking, over precautions. But we're ready to, roll up the sidewalks in New York City. I mean, it's just silly and ridiculous. I believe that we should be careful, and everybody should be careful, but not the way it's going on right now.
We cannot have another series of lockdowns. It'll be so bad for our businesses. I liken it to a man in a boxing ring, and they're dancing around. If you get hit right on the nose, you fall to the canvas. You're feeling a little dizzy, woozy. You get up. You go back. Into the ring, and it's that second punch on the nose that could be the knockout. Our small businesses cannot afford another 6, 8, 10 week shutdown, John. They just cannot. We will see millions of business failures. Donald Trump doesn't want that to happen. He's been the champion for keeping our businesses open. You said it right very well, John. We can do this. We've learned a lot from this virus. We can do it in a safe way to keep people healthy. People can't act stupid. But, the idea that we're going to lock everything down, no. I was just looking at the unemployment rate numbers that came out this week, John. You know what the unemployment rate is in Nebraska right now? 3%. It's 4%. It's less than 4% in South Dakota. It's 4% in Iowa. You know, here we have had this incredible. And now, why is it so low there?
So it's the cities. It's the cities. The people are being abused is in the big cities where the mayors and the governors are having the places shut down.
Yeah, Chicago.
I mean, I believe we should be, like I said, we should be cautious, but we can't commit suicide, self-suicide.
I completely agree. And, you know, my home city of Chicago, same way. Breaks my heart. I go to Chicago, I go to Manhattan, I see all these businesses locked down and boarded up. You know, let's get back and acting in a safe way, a health conscious way with social distancing and wearing masks. But no, we cannot lock down an economy. And Donald Trump doesn't want that to happen. And as long as we keep things functioning, I think we're positioned to have a mighty, mighty, you know, strong 2021.
Stephen Moore, the country's leading economist, thank you so much for coming on the show this Sunday morning, and have a great Thanksgiving.
Yeah, happy Thanksgiving to you. It's the best time of the year, John, and people should go.
Thank you.
Be with their families.
What is your prediction? What is your prediction? Gold or the dollar in 2021?
I like a little. I want both. I, you know, own gold and the dollar.
Thank you. Good morning, New York. This is the Katz Roundtable. John Katzmatidis here. Sunday morning. What is the state of the city? With us today is one of our experts, Manhattan Institute scholar, and we have Nicole Galinas. How are you, Nicole?
Good morning, John. I'm well. Thanks for having me on. How are you doing?
I am doing good. You know, where my family's healthy, which is the important thing. And I'm calling upon you. It's only 6 weeks to New Year's, and where the heck are we? What's going to happen to the city we both love?
Well, I mean, you really, really do have to have hardy mental health not to be a little bit depressed about the state that we find ourselves in going into this Christmas and going into the other holidays. It's not that the case count is rising, because I think anyone who understands this even nominally from a non-scientist perspective, I think people understand that the case count was going to rise. You know, it's rising around the country. People are traveling. People are going out more. Europe is seeing a second wave. We were always going to see a second wave. But I think what's more disturbing is that the mayor and the governor don't really seem to have learned very much over the past 9 months. I mean, they at least had an excuse in March where we didn't know how the virus was transmitting. We didn't know if it was surfaces or air, outdoor, indoor, what were risky activities. But now we know what is pretty safe to do, what is not so safe to do, and yet they're still approaching this with the same sledgehammer approach. So unfortunately, it's very possible we'll go into another lockdown, which just would devastate these retailers before the holiday season.
The mayor is threatening to close the restaurants. He's closed the schools for I don't know what period of time. Has he announced that? What period are the kids going to go back to school after Thanksgiving?
No, he said he hopes to reopen them in several weeks. So it's quite possible even there that these poor kids won't be able to get back to school until January. I mean, they all look so depressed, you know, walking out of school the last day on Wednesday. All of them are wearing their masks. All of them are distancing. And the testing rate that the schools have done in doing some random testing, they should be doing more random testing, but at least they did some. Only 0.2% of people who were randomly tested in the schools in October had COVID. So there's no data indicating that students and teachers and other school workers are getting COVID in the school buildings. Yeah. I mean, you know, I think a lot of it is the teachers' union has said very clearly it doesn't want its members exposed to risk, which is perfectly fine. No one wants their workforce exposed to risk. But the problem is,
well, what's the death rate below 50 years old? I mean, can't they send the teachers that are below 50 years old to teach our kids?
Right.
That's what you get paid for.
I mean, anybody with a medical disposition, which is defined very broadly, is working at home in the school system right now. They have taken steps to mitigate the risk. The risk, you know, only 30% of kids are even going to school. So there's ample distancing in the classroom, ample mask wearing. And if there's some things they want to change, they should change them. You know, if eating indoors is one of the riskier activities, why not have a shorter school day where maybe the school day is 3.5 hours and you send the kids home with a boxed lunch to eat at home, and then you send them home with a breakfast that they could eat the next day at home before they come to school. I mean, there's lots of stuff we could be doing, but, you know, the mayor is afraid that the teachers union will strike, but, I mean, they might as well strike if we're not going to have school.
Let them strike. And that way, if they strike, they don't get paid.
Well, they're
not going to go to work strike, and you're paying them versus striking and you're not paying them.
Yeah, strike would be illegal under the Taylor law, state law. But I don't, you know, of course, you don't want to send anyone into an environment like it was in March before they closed the schools where no one is wearing a mask, you know, no one is washing their hands, no one knew how to spread. But they are taking reasonable measures. I mean, absent everyone staying home for the next 6 months, which is increasingly untenable psychologically and mentally, they were doing what they could do. Now, on the other hand,
well, I want to do what's fair for the teachers, but I want to do what's fair for the kids, too.
Absolutely. Now, on the other hand, I do think there's plenty of evidence that indoor dining is risky. I mean, we have evidence from the CDC. People who tested positive for COVID were twice as likely to have gone to an indoor restaurant in the past 2 weeks. Evidence from Britain that the British government encouraging people to go out to eat over the summer accelerated the spread. JP Morgan Chase did a study that restaurant spending was correlated with indoor dining. You can't eat inside with a mask. So the mayor, now facing a rising caseload, is delaying the closing restaurants until, he said today, the first week of December. Now, it's the governor's final call, but the mayor is not really aggressively calling on the governor. The problem is, if they wait too long, they're going to end up shutting everything down. You know, there's absolutely no reason to shut down retail stores. You can go shopping with a mask. There's not a lot of people.
How do we roll up the sidewalks?
Right. I mean, if you wait another 2 weeks on restaurants, you're going to shut down Saks. You're going to shut down Macy's. You're going to shut everything down at the season that they need. And so we're still going about this all the wrong way, you know, shut down the restaurants to save the stores. And of course, that's a case where we should be getting federal aid. Do what Britain is doing right now and paying restaurant workers 80% of their salary to close down for a couple weeks. But
so in other words, the rest of the country should bail out New York City or New York State for having bad management? I'm just repeating what Washington is saying back.
Absolutely.
When you ask for the federal aid.
Let me ask you one more question
before we run out of time. What are we going to do with the MTA? They're ready to shut down the whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, the poor MTA, right? And, you know, the Treasury Secretary was just on TV this afternoon saying, well, the MTA can just borrow money. Well, they can't. I mean, they've already borrowed, I believe it's close to $3.5 billion now, just to try to get them through this year. They don't expect their ridership will return to normal until 2024. And of course, these ill-managed shutdowns in the city are not going to help ridership. You know, shutting down the schools takes away some of their riders this week. If we go into a full lockdown in December, which is completely avoidable, they're going to be right back down to 1 million riders a day instead of $1.8 million a day, which
Nicole,
normally ridership is 5 million people a day. So
Nicole, we're almost out of time. I'll go back to what we discussed a month ago. If the city and the state need help from the federal government, maybe they would allow a federal monitor to come in and decide how the money is spent.
Yeah, I think that's, the city should already be under a state control board, and the Cuomo has not acted there yet. I think any federal aid nationwide should come with cost reform strings attached.
I agree. Nicole Galinas, Manhattan Institute, thank you so much, and have a great Thanksgiving and stay healthy.
You too. I hope you and your family and friends have a great Thanksgiving as much as possible under these circumstances.
Maybe make sure we don't have more than 10 people in the house.
Absolutely. Do your part.
Thank you. You know what we need in America? We need leadership. With us this morning is a good friend of ours, a good friend of mine. She is the founder and president and CEO of Penn Strategies. She had a career in the insurance industry. She was civil aides secretary to the Secretary of the Army. She's an author, a lecturer, a member of the Council of Foreign Relations. Pamela Newman, how are you this morning?
John, I'm just wonderful and so appreciative to you for having me on your wonderful show.
Pamela, me and you go back a long way, and we work together, and you are the epitome of leadership. I've always seen you go into a room with 30 people and take command. Tell us about your new book.
You're very kind to ask. Actually, I attribute the ability to write the book back to you, John. And before we talk about my leadership skills, let's talk about yours, because you are an entrepreneur, you're a self-starter, you keep people going through very traumatic periods like the one we are going through now around the world, and you are a person who shows the other people how. One way you did that is you had me on this radio show in November of 2017, just shy of 30 days after I became a civilian aide to the Secretary of the Army for New York. And you asked me what that entailed. I told you it was telling the Army story. Of course, I had to learn the Army story, as I had never been in the Army or any branch of the military. In the last 3 years, my experience in the Army has been remarkable to understand how leadership penetrates every single thing that the Army citizen embraces. It's in every handshake, it's in every decision, it's in every classroom.
It is so much for people to learn. Do you think a leadership in America is on the rise, or do you think we have less of it? Tell us about how you feel about, do we need improvement?
I think we need recognition of the importance of knowing that every single day somebody has to be a leader and recognizing what they did that day that makes them a leader. I think about certain habits of ours. We think about what we're going to eat, where we're going to eat, when we're going to eat, every single day. Many of us think about exercise, when we're going to exercise, where we're going to exercise, and measure what exercising we did very frequently. People think about relationships they want to explore on an everyday basis. I don't think people think at the end of the day, what was a leadership moment that I took on today? I think it would be great if it became a recognized, acknowledged habit of living.
Your book is probably available through Amazon and through Barnes & Noble, Len Riggio's place. When somebody buys the book and reads it, what do you feel they're going to get out of it?
I think they're going to get an opportunity to have fascinating discussions with family, with friends, with colleagues about the 44 axioms which give examples of leadership principles. They'll agree, they'll disagree, they'll cite their own examples, and it will become an active discussion generator. That would make me very, very happy.
Pamela, are leaders born or are they developed through training?
There's no doubt in my mind they're developed through training. Of course, the incident may require them to become a leader, but there's also the recognition of things that are leadership capabilities that they may not have focused on. They're very simple things. One of the things I just referenced, I'm so impressed with in terms of the Army. When I do visit Fort Hamilton in Brooklyn, every single person at Fort Hamilton acknowledges me, looks me in the eye, and addresses me in a most capable and professional way. I wonder why people don't do that when they get on the elevator with a stranger. Why waste the moment? Why not have that very capable encounter with anyone you're coming in contact with on a given day?
We have a minute left. Anything else you want to tell the American people?
I think that everybody has it within them to want to become a leader. And by reading this book, we'll indeed focus on what leadership means and succeed.
The name of the book is Leadership is Doing.
Yes, sir.
And by Pamela Newman. And you can get it on Amazon or Barnes & Noble. Any place else?
You can get it from me, and you can get it from Outskirts Press. And, John, I want to thank you for being a leader and for being a leader at this very, very trying time in our world.
Pamela Newman, thank you. Have a happy Thanksgiving, and God bless America.
Thank you.
Thank you for being with us for the Cats Roundtable Local Edition, the number one show on Sunday mornings in New York. Keep listening to us for the Cats Roundtable National Edition between 9 o'clock and 10 o'clock. So we'll be back to you in a few minutes after the news.